Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm going to read, I guess we'll read the whole chapter this evening, just 18 verses. And won't preach on all of them, just want to look at a few things. Don't really feel like I have a great deal to give tonight, but just want to look at a thought that's on my heart for just a few minutes. Here that the Apostle Paul's writing this church at Corinth, this second letter he's writing to them. He says this, beginning in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, tonight for this privilege, this opportunity that you've given unto us to be able to gather together in this manner. I thank you, Lord, for each one that's come tonight, and I'm grateful for their presence among us. And I ask, Lord, now that your presence would be among us, that you might, for just a few moments, let us lose sight of ourselves and who we are and where we are and all the circumstances and the situations of our life, that you might empty us of ourselves and fill us with you. I pray, Lord, tonight for that touch and unction that no man is able to preach without. I ask, Lord, that you'd take the word of God, that it might go forth from these lips of clay in the power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of God, that it might find its lodging in the hearts of the hearers, and that it might accomplish that eternal purpose and that work that you have for it to do. I pray, Lord, above everything that's said or done, that you might receive glory and honor under your worthy name. I ask now, Lord, for heavenly wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might rightly divide the word of truth, that we might give instruction in righteousness as you'd see fit for us to give tonight. Lord, help us now, we pray. And for all, Lord, that you're pleased to do in and through and for us, We'll bow these on worthy heads and say, you've done it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I read this fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and I thought about what the Apostle Paul's saying here. There's a lot in this chapter, and I'm not going to by any means attempt to preach all of it tonight. Not even very much at all of it, but I do have a couple of things that have been working on my heart. I think about and have thought about, and we talked on Sunday about the situation that is upon us, not just as a nation, but also as a church, and the church as a whole, as a group of believers in our day, the situation, the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And I've talked to many others this week and in weeks gone by, and it seems like to me, and I have been and was where they are. I'm not belittling them because I understand what they're experiencing, but I've talked to many preachers that are discouraged. And I've talked to many of the children of God that are discouraged. And in their mind, and I understand, setting aside everything that was said on Sunday about everything returning to normal, and I understand what we dealt with there, but in their mind, they are almost convinced that things will never be the same again. And they've allowed all the circumstances and all the things that are going on, they've allowed it to pull them down to where they've just about lost heart. And I thought in this scripture, the Apostle Paul had dealt with some things in the past. He's going to deal with them again in chapter number 4, but he uses this phrase in verse number 1 and again in verse number 16, and he says, we faint not. And the word faint here, what the Apostle Paul is talking about, it's not passing out, but it's literally, it is a work inside of a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. It is to lose heart. It is to not see the use and going on. And I'm afraid that in these days, if we're not careful, and all the things that are happening, and all the trouble, and all the turmoil that is besetting us and coming upon the people of God, that if we don't keep our mind right, and if the mind is the battlefield, by the way, that's why I believe it was the Apostle Peter said to gird up the loins of your mind, to have it pulled together. For that's where the devil fights. That's where the enemy plagues us. And if he can get you to believe in your mind that things will never be the same again, if he can get you to believe in your mind that there's no point in going on, there's no sense in pressing forward, just to lay it down, to give up, to give in, then we have run the danger as the people of God of losing heart in this day. Preachers are losing heart. I'm just being honest, and inside of me, my heart's broke. I've talked to some dear friends and men of God, and they're losing heart in all the circumstances and all the things that are going on. And I want to say it. I don't know what all I need to say tonight, but I'm just going to try to follow God. But I'm telling you, some preachers are losing heart, and I appreciate everything that's been done. Those that have come and helped and set up and pulled trailers and mowed the grass and carried the tables out and carried the pulpit out and carried it in and set it up and set it down. But I'm telling you, there's preachers out there and pastors, good men of God, that are losing heart because the people act like they don't care and they won't check in and they won't talk to them. I'm telling you, we need to check on one another. And it ain't just about the preacher and the people, but we're a body. We are together. And if somebody's missing tonight, you ought to check in on them. They may just be tired and not be able to be here. Something may have come up and they have had to work. But we never know. We better not let each other slip by the wayside. Because there are folks that are losing heart. They're feeling like it's over for them. And all they need is for one dear brother or one dear sister to come by and to reach their arm around them and tell them that they love them. And tell them that they're praying for them. They
been days in my life, in days gone by, I felt like giving up. I mean, we'll all be honest, we've all felt like that. I just might as well throw in the towel and quit. Old Jeremiah got there, didn't he? He got just looking around, and really, if you go home and read it, I read it again this week, just some things working in my heart. And Jeremiah said, I've been become a derision. And that word derision means a laughing stock. He said, my preaching and my person has become the laughing stock of my generation. And he said, I'm done. And that's all there is to it. I quit. I close the book. I lay it up. I'll never preach again. He said, I'll never mention his name. And I'm telling you, there are good men and good women, good preachers and church members that are just about ready to lay it up and give in and quit. But don't lose heart tonight. Somebody loves you. Somebody still cares. We're all in this together. You're not fighting your battle alone. That's one of the greatest tools of deception that the devil has in our day. It's to convince us we're alone, that we're isolated, that we're separated. But I'm telling you, we're never alone. We have somebody that promised, whether or not the brethren are there, whether or not the church is there, whether or not the preacher's there. He said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Now, I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm glad he's with me. I sure am glad. That song we sing every now and again, in the church hymnal, He Abides. And the writer said it right, hallelujah. He abides with me. They said, I'm rejoicing night and day. Why? Because the Comforter abides with me. I sure am glad in the midnight hour when my wife don't know anything about what's going on in my soul. And when you don't know anything about my problems, and I don't know anything about yours, I'm glad there's somebody that can scoot up in the bed where you are and put his arms around you and let you know whether anybody else knows. He knows, and he cares about you. And don't give up tonight. And don't lose heart. There's still a battle to be fought. And there's still victory to be had. And don't give up. And let's go on for the glory of God. I thought about as a body of believers. I understand the church is a whole. I'm talking about here we are. Right here in our local assembly. Wherever you may be tuning in from, you're probably part of the local assembly. I'm telling you, we ought not to isolate one another. We ought not to let somebody fall by the wayside. The Bible didn't call us sheep for nothing. Sheep are not solitary creatures. They don't do well in isolation. Matter of fact, I was about late coming to church tonight because I got one down at the house. She got out, I give her a bunch of grass, I sit and I give her, and she eat too much of it, found her and laid down. But before I ever walked out of the field, I mean, I went in, I petted on her, I loved on her, I told her I was there. She might not understood, but she knew who I was. But before, and I'm glad for them times. I can't stop without saying, I sure am glad for them days when nobody else knows where I am and nobody else knows what I'm going through. And I've laid down. I've foundered on the world. I've foundered on my own feelings. And there are days we all founder on our feelings. And we get too much feelings in us. And we feel like giving up. And we feel like giving in. I'm glad he'll just come by where we are, our great shepherd, and tend on us, and love on us, and care for us, and tell us everything is going to be all right. I'm glad for that. But I couldn't stay. And I'm not taking anything away from our shepherd. He can stay as long as he needs to stay. But I couldn't stay. I had to get in the house. I had to clean up and get ready for church. But my wife can probably tell you, if she was looking out the window before I ever come out of the pasture, as I had to leave that sheep, I turned around and looked, and the others come around where she was. They knew something was wrong. They couldn't get her up. They couldn't really fix what was wrong. They just wanted to let her know that they were there, that they understood what she's going through, that probably there's a day not too long ago, that is in the same shape she is in. You understand what I'm saying? When we see somebody down, the Bible said if we see one overtaken, we ought to restore such a one. We might not be able to fix the problem. We might not even be able to get them up on their feet, but we can at least let them know we're there, and we care about them, and we've been where they are, and God made it all right for us, and He can make it all right for them too. I believe that's right. I'm going to tell you something in these days. We're living in days where, because we can't assemble like we once did. Now I understand we've got a little more freedom and we may complain, and I have, and griped and groaned, but there are some that can't even do this. And so it's almost become a sense of isolation for the people of God. And so if you know somebody that's down, you ought to go where they are. If you can't get where they are, you ought to pay. I know that we can't be together, but if you can drive where they are, you ought to go up on the porch, knock on the door, say, I know I can't come in, but I just want you to know that I know where you are, and I know what you're going through. If you can't drive where they are, you ought to pick up the phone. And we ought to do more, and I'm preaching to myself too. We ought to do more than just send a text message. But we ought to dial their number and say, I know where you are, and I know what you're going through. And if you have a pastor tonight, I'm just preaching all right because it's on my heart. But if you got one that's trying to feed you in the midst of all this trouble, in the midst of all this heartache, you ought to pick up the phone and tell him you love Him and tell Him you appreciate Him, laboring and toiling in the work of the gospel. I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor. I'm saying that because the Holy Ghost told me to say it. I'm telling you, in these days, we can't lose heart. We can't quit. We can't afford to lose one another. We need each other in this thing. Paul said, and he just made mention of a few things. I'll give them to you and I'm done. He gave a few reasons why he couldn't quit in this chapter, a few reasons that ought to encourage us and spur us on not to lose heart. Hey, the first one, he said, I've got a ministry. And he said, seeing we, therefore we have this ministry, he said, we faint not. He said, we got a work to do, and we can't quit. I'm telling you, in 2020, there's still a work to be done. The gospel still has to be preached. There's still prayers to be prayed. There's still sinners to talk to. There's still burdens to be carried. And we have a ministry. The church still has a ministry. I still have a ministry. You have a ministry. And because of that, we can't lose heart tonight. But not just our ministry. He said, God's given me mercy. And so because of that mercy, I can't faint. He said, I can't quit. I believe that's what Jeremiah experienced. When he said, I'm done, everybody's laughing at me. They don't want to hear what I got to say. Nobody's listening. But he said, I tried to quit. He said, I'm not even going to make mention of his name. But he said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm telling you, they've been days. I've come in and said, that's it. My wife would tell you, they've been days. I've cried all the way home and said, nobody was listening. Nobody cares. Not just since I've been here. Ever tell you. Everywhere I've been. There have been days like that. I pulled up in the parking lot of a church when I was traveling preaching. About 11 and a half hours from home. And I looked at my wife. And I said, what are we doing here? Why did I come all this way? I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. But deep down inside of me, I might not have wanted. But there's something did want. And it started rising up in me. You say, what is that? That's what the writer said. I can't quit. There's a fire burning in my soul. Sometimes I want to lay it down, but I can't lay it down. I'm not trying to let it go, but it won't let go of me. And so I'm glad tonight because we found mercy that we can't quit in these days. Amen. Ain't that right? But then Paul got on down them verses. I know this ain't real deep, but it's just what's on my heart. Paul got down there later in them verses. He said, I'm doing what I'm doing. He said, I'm bearing the reproaches I'm bearing Boy, he got to talking about some pretty bleak stuff. He got to talking about being cast down, being perplexed. That word perplexed means to not know where to turn or what to do. And I'm telling you, I'm looking around at the people of God in our day, and they're a perplexed bunch of folks. They feel like they don't know where to go, and they don't know which way to turn. But I'm glad for everything that looked bad. Paul said we might be perplexed. He said we might be where we don't know where to go. But he said we ain't in despair. That word despair means to have no hope. We might not know where to turn. But I'm glad for the child of God. There's hope down on the inside. I know it looks bleak. And I know it looks dark. But just hang on a little longer. It'll be all right after a while. Paul said, I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm going through what I'm going through. Enduring what I'm doing so that the life of Christ might be manifested through me. And so I want to say, if He would manifest Himself through us, then we ought not to quit. If He'd be so pleased as to take our suffering and to take our trouble and to take all this aggravation that we may be going through, if He can take all of that and make Himself manifest through us as individuals, as a church by the side of the road, as the people go up and down wondering what we're doing back here, if God can just manifest through us, ain't it worth the trouble? Ain't it worth the heartache? Ain't it worth the sleepless nights? If He'll manifest Himself through us. And so because of that, we can't quit. Because of that, He said, we're doing this for your sake. He said, if we just keep on. He said, He didn't say that just me one or two. But I read it in my Bible and you're here tonight. He said, there'd be many. That the thanksgivings of many would redound to the glory of God. That word redound means to flow in excess. He said, if we'll just keep on keeping on, there'll be a day that what we're going through will bring glory and honor to God through us. And if He can get glory out of us, ain't it worth it just to go on? If He can use us, if we can be just a glimmer of light in the midst of this darkness, and that gospel being hid unto those that are lost, if we could just let the Lord use us to shine His light, as Peter said, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and we're in it tonight, but I'm glad we can shine, and we can make a difference in this day. Don't let the devil convince you that you can't make a difference. You can. And Paul said you could. Paul said he knew he would, not because of who he was. He said, it ain't because of me, but it's that manifestation. It's that working through me. And it's coming from the inward man. I liked that verse, and it really gripped my heart this week, where it said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man's renewed day by day. He said, this outer man wants to lay it down. This outer man wants to throw up the flag of surrender and quit. But he said, there's something going on down inside that inner man, and it wells up and it wants to go on. I'm glad for some go on that God's put down inside my heart. He said there's all these things, but He said there's a future motivation. He said our light affliction, which endureth but just a moment. All this stuff we're going through, and I'm not belittling it by any means. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I know one who does. And He wanted me to tell you tonight, if you don't get anything else out of what I've said, you get this, that what you're going through won't last forever. It'll just be for a moment. You say, but oh, it's bad, preacher. It may be bad, but when it's over, you'll remember it no more. Paul said, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeded and eternal weight of glory. He said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I thought about what the Lord said
about a woman being in labor, travailing. And I was in the delivery room with my wife for all four of ours. And there's a whole lot of pain involved. And she knows more about it. And I'm not trying to embarrass her, but she knows more about it than I do. But just looking on, I could tell. But Jesus said, a woman, when her hours come, hath much pain. But the Bible said, when the child is born, she forgets all of that for the joy that a child is born into the world. And we may feel like we're at the bottom. And we may feel like we're dragging our tracks out. And we may feel like it'll never be the same again. But what if we convene like this one Wednesday night, or one Sunday morning, or one Tuesday night like tonight, and some old wretched sinner falls under conviction of the Holy Ghost, and we sail away to Calvary, and gets birthed in the family of God. And you say, what'll happen? We'll forget all the trouble. We'll forget all the pain. We'll forget all of that. For joy that a child is born in the family. So I say we can't give up. We can't lose heart. Let's just go on. And I know here lately seems like all my preaching's been some encouragement and some exhortation, but I believe that's what we need in this day. God's trying to get us to understand that He's working in all this, not to give up, not to quit, and not to stop short, but to let Him have His way, and to trust Him, have faith in Him, and press on no longer. Just press on. I thought about, and I'm no singer, I ain't going to sing tonight. But I was in the bedroom the other night, just sitting there, started strumming on the guitar and started singing. And the old writer said, as we travel through the desert, storms beset us on the way. Oh, and I'm telling you, the storms have rolled in. But that writer said, farther on, still go farther. Count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you never. I can rest assured and give you one promise. It's better farther on. It sure will be better one day after a while. And it may not take eternity. It may be better tomorrow for you. And the Lord may pay you a visit in the middle of the night. And if He does, it'll be better. Far better. And I'm just telling you tonight, go on. I text a brother that's been talking to me. And that's what I felt like telling him. Farther on, still go farther. It's better farther on. And that's what I'm telling you tonight. It's better farther on. Don't give in. Don't give in. Let's go on. It's better after a while. Don't lose heart. You may feel like that sheep of mine at home. Over around, she, not even in the barn. She's over around on the backside in the corner, about as far as she can get away from all the others. Laid down against the stall there. And to look up in the field, you can't see her. You can see all others, but you can't see her. But I'm telling you something. And you may feel that way, and I'm just preaching my heart. God knows. God knows why that sheep, it broke my heart to see her in the shape she is in. I told my wife, and most of you know how I am. I told her on the way here, I said, if that sheep dies, I'm selling everyone I got. I can't handle this. I can't do this. Losing animals, it bothers me. But I thought that old sheep laid down, and none of them other sheep might not know where she's at. People might drive up and down our road and they can't see her. But she can rest assured, know one thing. Her shepherd's been up there. I know right where she's at. When I get back home tonight, if I can't see her, I know where to go. And I know I can find her. And I'm telling you tonight, you may feel like nobody knows or nobody cares. But there's a great shepherd in heaven, and He knows right where you are. And when nobody else can find you, and nobody else can help you, He knows right where you are. He's better than GPS. He knows exactly where you're at. And He'll come to your rescue and help you in the midnight hour. So don't give up. Don't lose heart. It's better. farther on. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, tonight for this privilege.